What's better than this? Guys, being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Friday edition of the show. It is, I guess, Super Bowl Friday. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl today. Kyle, welcome.
Thank you, Joe. Super Bowl around the corner, and I don't know about you, but I have thoroughly enjoyed the build-up to the Super Bowl this week. Because it's been in Miami, and there's a lot of nuggets. You know, there's some stuff coming out. Tua Tagovailoa was in Miami, flat out came up and said he'd be honored to play for the Dolphins. I don't know. I'm excited. You know, the Lee Steinberg threw the Bengals under the bus yesterday, which was awesome. Talking about his client Tua. Did you see that one? You see what he said?
I didn't. No, I didn't see it.
So somebody asked him, Lee Steinberg was doing like a radio hit for an ESPN affiliate, and they asked him, do you want to see your client, Tua, end up getting drafted number one overall? And Lee's response was, well, I think most importantly, you want to see your client go to a good organization, so I hope the Bengals fall in love with Joe Burrow.
Translation, the Bengals are drafting Joe Burrow, and Tua won't be the number one.
Correct, but also casting shade at the Bengals by calling them not a good organization.
Right, and Lee Steinberg is going to have clients that are going to, I mean, probably has clients on the Bengals. They're going to go to the Bengals, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a slippery slope when an agent comes out and says something that aggressive.
Yes. So Kyle, go ahead.
No, it was a transitional statement I was going to make. So if you had anything,
yeah, go ahead. No, I'm done.
I clicked on accident. I went to click on just like the GameCast for the ESPN breakdown of the Super Bowl so I can have some stats in front of me. I accidentally clicked tickets. And
not going to happen.
If you're free on Sunday, there's the cheapest seat I can see here on Vivid Seats, level 333, row 7. There's two tickets, $4,498 each.
That it?
That's it.
Well, shit. I mean, they always said that the price drop off seems to come on like Friday. So here we are. And that's the dipped price.
Start a GoFundMe and Kyle and I can go to the Super Bowl. We'll get down there. Oh, I don't know. I what do you think about that? Just like, do you ever have this like aspiration to attend a Super Bowl? Is that something you think about in life?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Is it? Okay.
Well, I think especially for us being in the industry, right? Like, it's different from a fan perspective, but for us being in the industry, to have the Senior Bowl is really cool because it's like the entire NFL world devolves on Mobile, Alabama. But the Super Bowl is like the entire NFL world and the entire business world both come together.
Yeah, a lot of pop culture and, too.
Yeah, so I think just definitely something that I would love to be able to do, experience the full week. I would love to go to the game, even though most of the people at the game, they say it's more of a corporate setting since the prices are through the nose. I definitely get into the game. This would be a game I'd really enjoy watching, to be honest with you, because I don't have a specific rooting interest. So I'd be happy with either result. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to root for a good game.
I would enjoy the things you mentioned, the build up. If we got to do work down there, like just the week would be fun. But in terms of attending the game, I don't know that it's like bucket list for me. And I especially wouldn't want to go if it was like my team. I would want to go. This would be a great year to go. Two teams that are kind of benign to me. I don't have like hard feelings towards either one of them. This would be a great one for me to attend. But if it was like Bills versus the Packers or something like that, which I don't know if that will ever happen in my life, I don't think I'd want to be there.
So there you go. I can't imagine being a fan. Going to a Super Bowl and your team losing.
Oh, it sucks so bad, man. Wouldn't it?
I'd be like, what the hell what did I do all this for?
Because you're 5 figures into it, right? For sure.
Right. Yeah, no question. and they lose and like Atlanta Falcons versus the Patriots style. Like, what do you do with yourself?
You just don't recover. You live in a hole for a month, probably.
That'll change your life forever.
Kyle, I have a rooting interest in this game.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you hear it? Do you want to talk about the game first? Or do you want to know who I'm rooting
for? Let's get the formalities out of the way first.
Yeah, because I think it's going to bleed through in my takes on the game. So, I am going for the Kansas City Chiefs to win the football game. That's my allegiance.
You want them to, or you feel that they will?
I want them to win this game.
Why?
Well, I think it starts with Andy Reid. No, you know what? It doesn't start with Andy Reid. It starts with the fans. Kansas City Chiefs fans are awesome. They're passionate. They support their team no matter what. They've, you know, it's not like it's a super sexy city or anything like that, but these guys love their Chiefs. They're passionate. I love that. Part of whenever I want a team to do well, I think about the fans and my opinion of them. And I think very, very highly of Chiefs fans. Andy Reid, really successful coach, has been to the big game, has been to multiple championship games. I want to see him get over the hump. I think he's done a lot of good things for a lot of players in the game, a lot of coaches in the game, mentoring people. Has a really impressive tree. And then I like Patrick Mahomes. I think he's one of the most likable superstars in any sport. I like his brand. I just think he's super likable. I don't necessarily love how everyone just loses their shit every time he does anything like exciting, but I think that he's the type of superstar that I can really get behind and like. And Chris Jones is the player I like. I like Mecole Hardman. You know, so there's some guys that I like on the roster, but I think it comes down to Mahomes, Reed, and the fans. I want to see them get the W on Sunday.
How are you going to talk about the likable players on the Chiefs and not mention Honey Badger?
Because I was trying to wrap it up because I felt like I was talking for a long time.
Listen, I enjoy a good soapbox period as much as anybody, and Honey Badger is one of those guys for me that you know, the story of what he went through in college and LSU and the redemption that he's been able to create for himself and the evolution of himself as a player. This super savvy, super smart football player. I love it. And I'm also probably rooting for the Chiefs to win the game.
Probably. I know why you're rooting for the Chiefs.
Why is that? Go ahead and out me. Yeah, call me out. Go ahead.
I'm going to out you right now. Kyle has a friend by the name of Jeff Plummer. Yep. Hi, Jeff. Hope you're listening to this podcast.
I heard he texted you the other day, by the way.
We had a great text exchange.
Yeah, little girl dad text.
Little girl dad text. Yeah, it's a lot of good talk there. But Jeff, Kyle doesn't want you or I to be happy when it comes to sports. Okay? So he is not wanting you to be all high on your horse because your 49ers won the Super Bowl. He wants you to be miserable. And for that reason, he's going for the Chiefs.
Misery loves company, and you're absolutely right. I would hate, that was the worst part, because when the Eagles played the Patriots a couple years ago, I grew up in central Pennsylvania. You know, it was down south at first, moved up to central PA when I was like 8. Everybody that I knew growing up was an Eagles fan. And then they're playing the Patriots, so it's like, I want the Patriots to win. And then I want the Patriots to lose. And then the Patriots did lose. And the other side of the coin was every single person that I knew for a full year was obnoxiously over the top. We won the Super Bowl! And I can't have that. So, yes, my rooting interests in the game solely lie with a very close personal friend of mine not being able to experience a joy that I'll probably never experience in my life.
But, Kyle, that's going to make it hard for us when it's your turn, if that ever happens.
I'm going to be an insufferable prick, man.
So
if it ever happens.
Okay, but as long as you recognize the double standard that exists here.
No, there's no double standard.
You're going to be, if the Bills win the Super Bowl next year, you are going to be so annoying. I won't be able to enjoy it because of you. No, you do not have that type of power over me. I'm that statement back.
I'm going to edit that second part of that statement out.
No.
And we're going to pretend that you didn't amend that.
No,
that's good to know. That's really flattering, actually.
No, that was. No.
All right, let's talk about the game.
Go Chiefs, right?
Go Chiefs, baby. That's right.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so when you think about these two teams, pretty interesting stylistic clash, right? As far as Coach Shanahan, how they attack offense, how they run the ball so effectively, how they've made Jimmy Garoppolo be a really nice kind of off-speed pitch to all the fastballs they're throwing with the outside and wide zones that, that San Francisco runs. Kansas City, on the other hand, is a blink and you'll miss them. Elite speed on offense. Magician at quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Is there how? Let me ask you this, Joe. What do you think the likelihood is that San Francisco overwhelmingly wins the time of possession, but loses the football game? Because that, I mean, that's the a very realistic outcome for me is Kansas City's going to play faster to score all the time. Yeah. San Francisco's going to have to try and like get a critical possession at the end of the game where they milk the clock, kill the clock, and then win the game.
I think that's exactly what could happen. I think stylistically, that's just what these teams are. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's thrown, what, like 27 passes in two playoff games so far this year? They're going to try to win by running the football, and it's worked for them for the most part this year. So, I mean, we see Kansas City's going to try to score fast like they do, but like that's the question is, can the 49ers defense do enough to make it difficult on that Kansas City offense where they're not the same explosive team that we've seen all year long? Can they find a way to neutralize that?
What do you think the biggest X factor is in that conversation?
So yeah, to me, it's the 49ers front seven and particularly that defensive line, what type of problems they can cause. I mean, Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, those guys, how much penetration can they get? I mean, this is a veteran Chiefs offensive line, but I don't think, you know, you look at each individual player and say, oh, that's an outstanding player at every spot. I know Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle is really good and they have some good pieces, but can they cause enough problems to throw off the timing of the Chiefs offense and make life difficult for Pat Mahomes and maybe, you know, make some of those screen plays that they like to run more difficult and take away some of those opportunities that Patrick Mahomes likes to launch the football down the field to Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and Sammy Watkins? It's, you know, it's one of those deals where how much of an impact can a really outstanding defensive line have in a game?
See, I think the biggest X factor for San Francisco's defense for me is how they choose to attack the RPO stuff, right? I think you're going to have to run some blended coverages and get creative because you can't play straight zone against this RPO because you'll get the linebackers sucked up. And with the speed that Kansas City has, they're going to gouge you up the middle. So you have to have man components on the boundary. But I think getting that rat, that robber, that and hiding who that player is for San Francisco based on alignments and splits. If San Francisco can find a way to disguise who the buzz defender is that's going to come into the middle of the field and protect and jump some of those targets in the RPO stuff, where the linebackers aren't in such a bind, you're going to have to get whether it's Jimmy Ward or somebody else. I think that for me is the big chess match within the game because of how much of a bind Kansas City can put San Francisco's defense in. Because if they RPO you, the ball's going to be out quick a lot of the time. And that in itself will help negate some of the pass rush, in my opinion.
Kyle, how much confidence do you have in Kansas City's defense being able to match up with what San Francisco likes to do offensively?
Oh, well, I mean, the fact that they're totally healthy helps, well, right?
Except for Juan Thornhill. That's the only
one. Without Juan Thornhill, yeah. So I think in the run game, Kansas City's got enough guys that can create penetration that I think it gives them a fighting chance. Because if you try and string out this wide zone and outside zone in San Francisco, their backs are so dynamic, you're inevitably going to have a break, right? So I'm looking for upfield penetration to the play side. And if I can get upfield penetration, I can force that back to stop his feet in the backfield. That's a win for me because now I can rally to the football and box him in. So Chris Jones, big game this weekend. You got to get upfield. You got to put that guard's ass in the lap of the running back coming out of the mesh point. And if you can do that, Or if you could push through that gap and run through there, you've won.
On Derek Nnadi, too. I think you can have him just – he's so stout, man. He's such a tank against the run that if you have him really just holding at the point and allow Chris Jones to flow a little bit more and allow some of those backers to get downhill, you got a chance. And Steve Spagnuolo has really evolved this defense throughout the course of the year and played much better as things went along. And I give him a lot of credit for just evolving throughout the course of the season. I wish they had Juan Thornhill. I really do. But, yeah, I think Chris Jones being healthy matters so much for Kansas City. I think he's the true X factor, a guy that can really be a neutralizing presence for the Chiefs against an outstanding San Francisco rushing attack.
So give me your scenario for Kansas City wins the game comfortably if X.
I think it's going to come down to big plays on offense for Kansas City. You know, can they put enough stress on San Francisco to respond and keep up with the pace of scoring? Because San Francisco can score, but it's just different, right? If they have to be a little bit more methodical with, you know, running the football and completing passes, and, you know, they just have to keep executing play after play after play. If there's that type of stress where Kansas City scores in bunches and puts that back on San Francisco to keep pace, I think that's going to become very challenging if this really becomes a game where Jimmy Garoppolo has to be the reason why you win. So I think Kansas City has to find a way to get big plays down the field. And my God, they have all the weapons in the world to do that from the three receivers we talked about, Travis Kelce. And then, you know, don't sleep on Andy Reid with extra time to prepare and him getting a guy like even a Darwin Thompson, a guy with 4.3 speed. You know, while you're so consumed with dealing with Hardman and Hill and Watkins and Kelce, well, here's a screenplay that you haven't seen before, and it's going to Darwin Thompson, who I can get him going in a straight line with that 4.3 speed, and he can cause some problems. So I really like Andy Reid and that extra time to kind of draw some stuff up creatively to help those big plays happen and help them to score against a really good defense.
Yeah, to San Francisco's credit, San Francisco won this style game against New Orleans in the Superdome earlier this season.
Yeah.
But that's not the template, right? So for me, for Kansas City, it's can you score and create a turnover and score again? Because if you go up 14 on San Francisco, kind of the way that Houston jumped up on top of Kansas City to not even half the degree, right? Because that was 24-0 at one point. But if you can go, if you could double dip with scores and get San Francisco behind by double digit points early, I really think that swings San Francisco out of their wheelhouse. So that for me is the big X factor. Kansas City wins comfortably if they can get San Francisco down double digit points early in the game.
Kyle, let me bring in this conversation point, because whenever we get to these big games, Super Bowl games, and it's these really interesting clashes, right, where you have a really dynamic offense against a really great defense, history has told us that the defense is the one that matters, right? Whether that was last year, Rams, Patriots, think about the Panthers and Broncos. The Panthers had the number one scoring offense in football in 2015, and the Broncos had the number one defense. The defense won that football game. Think about some of the other games in the past, like with the Ravens in the early 2000s. It felt like every time there was that really great defense going up against that great offense, defense was the team that won the game.
Yeah, and that's always the narrative in the postseason, right? Yeah. Is offense wins games, defense wins championships.
Right. Bucks Raiders back in the early 2000s as well. I mean, just I think there's just a lot of examples of it.
But there's also examples of explosive offenses having enough to get the job done. So I think San Francisco plays the more complementary style of football. I think Kansas City, if they get the critical break that they need, they force a mistake from San Francisco. Like if San Francisco does not inflict any self-inflicted wounds, I think San Francisco wins the game. But if Kansas City can create one or two big mistakes, I think that's enough to tip the scales in Kansas City's favor and potentially snowball the game to where they score in bunches.
Ready to predict the game?
Yes.
I'd be happy to go first.
Go ahead. Be the bad guy.
So here's where, you know, we've talked about some of the X factors, and we all kind of know the strengths and weaknesses of these teams. So whenever I'm really kind of stuck on a prediction, I really kind of think about some of those difference makers, and I think about coaches and I think about quarterbacks. And Kyle Shanahan is a really good head coach. I mean, you have to love what he's been able to do, turning this thing around. The future of the team is really, really bright. But when it comes to big game experience, you know, Andy Reid is pretty unmatched in these moments in terms of having a resume under his belt to glean from and, you know, take into these moments. I also think if it comes down to which quarterback is better, Patrick Mahomes is a much, much better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. That's not because Jimmy Garoppolo is a bad quarterback. It's because Patrick Mahomes is probably the best one in the league. If you were to put all the players in a pool and the NFL was completely redrafted, Patrick Mahomes would be the number one pick. And so I've got this coaching staff that I have more confidence in because of its resume and big game experience. I think I have a better quarterback, a decisively better quarterback. To me, I think the Chiefs win the game, and those are the reasons why I believe that.
Oh, man. I was hoping you would pick San Francisco.
Well, I think, Kyle, you made a good point that made me second guess just a little bit, is that, like, if San Francisco doesn't beat themselves, they got a really good chance to win this football game. And I mean, it's a 1.5-point spread. It's not like anyone's expecting anything decisive here.
From a personnel perspective, I think San Francisco has the versatility on defense and the experience in the right spots. You know, you think about Sherman at corner and what his career looks like and how good of a player he's been this year for them. They've got enough versatility with the Jimmy Wards of the world. They've got enough versatility up front with the Eric Armsteads and DeForest Buckners and Nick Boses of the world. I think they can prevent Kansas City from turning this into a track meet. And because of that, I think San Francisco will play the style of game that is going to put them in position to late in the fourth quarter, have possession, and go win the football game. And I trust, whether it's George Kittle or Emmanuel Sanders or the running game itself, I can see San Francisco executing in that crunch time scenario. I'm going to pick the 49ers to win the game, but I'm going to pick it to be very close. And I'm also picking the 49ers to win the game after I gave out this somewhat reasonable analysis to say, if I'm wrong, I'm happy because I want Kansas City to win.
And the consolation will be that your good friend Jeff will have a Super Bowl championship.
No. Be no consolation.
Oh, man.
Always build yourself the out, though, right?
Is there a scenario, can we go back to this for a second? Is there a scenario where you would be happy that the Bills won the Super Bowl?
No.
What if you got one? What if you got one first?
Nope.
Oh, man, you're such a bad person.
Yeah, I'm very selfish sports fan.
What if you got two? You just don't want it. You don't want it. Joy loves company too, Kyle.
No, it doesn't. Joy's selfish. Lock yourself in a room and celebrate.
Gallup grabs, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it. We're done. We're signing off. Thanks for listening to Draft Dudes. Listen, we hope you guys enjoyed the Super Bowl this week. Once the Super Bowl is over, we're going to have some reaction on Monday, and then we're full tilt into draft season. It's going to be here before we know it, so we got some really cool stuff planned. Also, make sure you swing over to Locked On NFL Draft today. Joe and I are partaking in Fan Friday since Trevor's co-host Ben Solak is on his honeymoon. So there'll be some fun non-football conversations going on over there. If you want to know a little bit about some of the weirdness that Fan Friday can pull out in conversations, I've seen the questions, so it's going to be a super weird show, and I can't wait. So swing over, check out Locked On NFL Draft. We're Draft Dudes. We'll be back again on Monday. Enjoy the Super Bowl, guys.